We're going to get rolling here today. I want to thank everybody for coming out. We're in a series talking about what's my gift. You know, as we mentioned last week, that, you know, most everybody knows when they're born, right? Y'all know when your birthday is? But sometimes we don't know why we were born. And see, that's the issue. You know, it's a bummer living your whole life and you don't know why you're here, why God put you on this planet. You know, it's more than just, you know, having a family, going to work, and then retiring and then dying, ain't it? You know, God has more for us. And so we're going to go into this series here, and it's going to be talking in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and I'm going to go over this several times. They're called seven motivational gifts, or seven gifts of the Father. Remember, we looked at the idea of the gifts of the Father in Romans chapter 12. You got the gifts of the Son in Ephesians 4:11, which is your apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. And then you have your gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. So we're going to look at the motivational gifts. And I like to look at them as the idea of they're more of our like our personality gifts. And as I'm going through these, I don't want to forget to say this. It's not in my notes, but You know the different personality tests that people take? You know, so everybody has maybe a different personality in that effect, but also with these gifts of the Father, what God puts in of us, so they all come out just a little bit different. And we're going to look at two of the gifts today, prophecy and mercy. And this is a little different than I like to do. I don't enjoy this style of delivery, you know, where I have to bring kind of just information. I like a different flow, but hey, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Just like in a church of our size, sometimes you got to flow in different areas of ministry because maybe somebody's not stepping up or we don't have somebody to hit that thing. So just because you maybe locate yourself, it doesn't mean you can't go into other things. And then also, you may have different strengths that are similar, like different giftings. Usually you're predominant in one. And, you know, as you flow in that, you know, you're going to be a lot more fulfilled. But I don't want to forget to say this also is the fact that you may not know what your gift is, but you flow in it anyway. But what this is going to help is kind of to stop the misunderstandings. Let's say you're married to somebody that has an opposite gift of you. Have you, that happens, doesn't it? Well, have you ever wondered why everybody's not like you sometimes? Why can't they see like I see? Why can't they do like I do? It's because God made them different. And so if we can understand those differences, it's going to help us in our relationships. And that leads into what I'm going to say here is, have you ever wondered why we're all a little different from each other? And have you ever wondered why some people are really different? You know what I mean? Don't point at them right now. But there's some people in life that are really different. You know what I'm saying? And we're all a little different because God has placed inside of us different motivations. And it's like we have a set of eyeglasses that we see through based on our gifting. And that's how we usually look at life. See, due to our motivational gift, God has pre-wired us to approach situations in different ways. And this balance is good because it leads to some misunderstanding, especially, you know, as we go through life and relationship and doing things together. If you're just on some desert island all by yourself, you know, yeah, it doesn't matter. But if you're trying to work with other people, you know, sometimes we need to learn how to succeed as we work together. So as we locate our main gift, this study will also help understand the people that we're working with. So understanding ourselves is important, but even more important is understanding others. So the passage we're going to look at, and I encourage you to meditate on this, kind of go through it. We're going to be doing this for several weeks. It says in Romans chapter 12, verse 6 to 8, it says, so we have gifts that differ according to the grace given us. Okay? Grace. Remember, my definition of grace, and that's a pretty common one, is grace is God's power working through us. God will give us the grace or the strength to do things. You know, mercy's different. Like we sang that song a minute ago. When grace isn't working, man, we need mercy, right? You know, we're way past grace over into mercy, and it gets that way sometimes. But see, God has given us grace, and that's the strength that you and I can have to be able to function in the gifting that He's called us to do. God's given you everything. Everything that you need, it's there. We just have to tap into it, okay? We have to remember, we just tap into that strength and that grace that God's given us, then we can fill the call of God upon our life, okay? So, according to the grace given us, each of us is to exercise them according. See, it's something we have to do. It's just not going to happen. We got to exercise them. How many know we need to exercise every now and then? Praise God. Come on now, be honest. We all do, don't we? If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, in service, in his serving, and he who teaches in his teaching, or he exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality and he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the stirring of the Spirit today in each of our lives. Lord, we know when we were born, but Lord, we want to know why we were born. What is it you put inside of us? What is it the call that you have for us to accomplish things for your glory, Lord? We want to find out what that is, and we want to flow with you, not against you. Lord, right now I yield to the gift inside of me. I want to use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. We bind Satan from trying to steal the word out of our heart in any way, shape, or form. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so these are seven gifts. They're the gifts of the Father. God has given us these gifts. And I believe we tap into these when we're born again, and they start to activate, shall we say. They might have been in there since we're born. Don't have any definitive information on this, you know, but I believe that when we're born again is when we step into our destiny. You know, we become a Christian. That's when we step into our God-given calling, the calling that God has placed upon our life, and we each have one. We each have a calling, and God has given us a special gift, and we need to use that. So we may flow in several gifts, but, you know, one will be more dominant than others. You know, I just want to say that we each have a ministry. God has called you for a reason to do something, and our ministry is fueled by grace, attained by faith, and labored in love. Those three things we need operating in our life. We need grace, because God's grace is there to give us the strength to accomplish things, and then we have to have faith to step out. You know, we can just set on our gift. We don't have to open our gift. I think, like I mentioned before, is when if somebody hands you a gift, you know, you can receive that gift, but until you open it, you don't really know what that gift is. Yeah, I got a gift. Well, what is it? Well, I don't know. I haven't opened it yet. Well, see, think about that for a minute. You know, so we have to open that. So that means we have to, you know, attain them by faith, step out and start to flow in that gift, and then labored in love. If you need one thing in ministry, you need love. Amen. Because, you know, like I've always said, you may not get an attaboy or an attagirl all the time. You know, you may not get thanked all the time. You know, we try to thank people for doing stuff, but we may mess up sometimes. But you have to have the heart of love. You know, the agape love, the God kind of love. So that's why we do it. We do it for God's glory, not for attention. Amen? That'll keep us out of trouble. Okay, these seven gifts, just an overview of them. Prophecy, they're the eyes of the body of Christ. And you're going to see these as these things come together. Service, the hands of the body of Christ. Teaching is the mind of the body of Christ. Giving is the arms of the body of Christ. And exhortation is the mouth of the body of Christ. I need to take a breath. No. There's a lot of stuff here. Administration is the head of the body of Christ. And mercy is the heart of the body of Christ. Okay? Now, this information was exposed to me when I lived in Denver and I went to a church and I had the class. It was taught to me in Bible school as well as in our church. And this information is out there. I kind of looked on the web, and there's a lot of different teachings that are similar to these, and it helps the body of Christ. That's what we want to do. This church is a local body. We're part of the larger body of Christ. And any time in a body, you know, have you ever had something in your body that doesn't quite work right? You know what I'm saying? Maybe you got an injury, some sort of an owie or something, and it don't work right. Well, then you're hindered, aren't you? You can't be at your full potential because you have something lacking. And see, that's what it is in the local body of Christ, in the church here. You know, all these seven gifts need to be represented in this local church. And they need to function. They need to exercise them accordingly. And when that is happening, we're running at full strength. You know what I mean? And then, you know, that's what God wants us to be. Now, sometimes we may be lacking in some of these, and different people have to step up and cross train, I guess, whatever. So today, we're going to look at gifts, and I'm trying to compare the two gifts that are sort of opposite of each other. And today, we're going to be looking at prophecy and mercy, okay? Those are kind of two different extremes. Just saying, you know, that a lot of pastors have the mercy gift, not me. I have the prophecy gift. So my approach is a little different than some. And, you know, I try to, you know, I've learned as I've gotten older, I hold back a little bit or I've tuned it up, you know. There's rough edges around all these gifts. You know, because sometimes when we step into these things, you know, we try to, just like that, for a side thought, you've taken that love language test. Is that there are five love languages? I'm not sure what they all are right now, but I have one or two of them. Anyway, I don't know. But anyway, you know, we like to love other people like we like to be loved, okay? It's just because we think, well, it's good for me, it's good for them. But see, they need to be loved different. Maybe your love language is like you like to get gifts. Their love language might be words of affirmation. Well, so when you want to love them, you give them a gift, but they don't care anything about that gift. They just want you to say nice words to them. They want you to build them up. And here we could throw thousands of dollars at them, and they're not getting loved because they're not getting loved the way they need to. Okay, and it's like this in these giftings. You know, we flow in these giftings, and we learn to operate with them, and we understand that we need all this balance, and hope we understand other people. So the first one is prophecy, and prophecy is the eyes of the body of Christ, and it says to do it according to the proportion of faith. Okay, so prophecy is more of a white and black person, you know, in a sense where they, you know, see things that way. And so stepping out and stuff, you'll see what I mean when I get to this. So the word is used here in three of the gift passages, but manifests in different ways, okay? Without going into this too much, we got the gifts of the Father here, prophecy. Gifts of the Son, prophet, okay? And then also in the gifts of the Spirit, somebody may prophesy. Okay, I hope this ain't too confusing. We're going to try to go into all these, maybe others next year. But, you know, this gifting here, but it's different. This here prophecy is talking not about a prophet. Just because you have the prophecy motivational gift, that does not ordain you to be a prophet. Okay, this is more of a personality issue than it is a call into that office, that ministry of the prophet. And that you may be in the church here, and we believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We were Pentecostal, full gospel, charismatic, whatever kind of church you think. You know, so we believe in the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. We don't believe any of them have passed away. Those nine gifts are still in operation right now. So you can prophesy, get a word from God and speak it out, but you may have a mercy gift. You may have also a serving gift. Those are different because they're given by the Holy Spirit. So what we're trying to do, and it's kind of confusing because sometimes we see a gift and we want that gift. I know in Bible school, and my wife and I had known each other. We weren't dating at that time, I don't think. But, you know, we had this teaching, and I went up to her and her roommate, and I said, you know what? I think I have the gift of mercy. And they said, no, you don't, you know, because they knew me. They could see I'm more of a prophecy motivational gift. I'm black and white. This is like it is, you know. And like I always said, sometimes my counseling sessions are one time, man. I go right for the jugular. But I've learned to ease off a little bit. You know, people sometimes can't handle that. So I've learned as a pastor to tone that down a little bit. You know, and you learn to flow with other things. So, as we define these gifts, okay, it's in all three. The prophecy motivational gift is some person that kind of is a perceiver. You know, they have kind of insight or an intuitive sense about people or situations. They just have that sense about them where they can see through things. You know, and that's part of this gifting. You know, sometimes people feel like, you know, they're reading your mail when you're around this person. They just have a flow like that. And I know that's been told to me, you know, quite a few times. This prophecy gift is not a doom and gloomer. You're not there to just, you know, hey, put people down, you know. Really, it's about encouraging, exhortation, and trying to bring comfort to people. And, you know, a prophecy motive gift may point out your sin, but the reason why they do is they want you to be free. They figure the only way you're going to be happy is to be free. So let's deal with this. You know, let's rip the Band-Aid off. You know, let's just jerk it off right now. Let's not try to, you know, milquetoast this thing. You know, so that's the kind of person, you know, that they are. And really, it's forthtelling instead of foretelling. Okay. The Ephesians 5 prophet might be foretelling. Or Ephesians 4 prophet, I'm sorry, might be foretelling. But this is foretelling. This type of person, you know, it's in proportion to their faith. You know, they'll speak a truth. They'll just say the truth. And so they're just telling it like it is sometimes. That kind of person. And that's kind of how they do. And like I said, it's in proportion to your faith. See, it takes faith to speak truth, knowing there may be fallout. So this person, you know, is a type of person that may have that. They may not have as many friends as other giftings. You know what I mean? Just the way it is. So a different kind of type of person has to handle this type of person. You know, our heart is right. It's this that our approach is different than others. So some characteristics, you know, and some of these pictures are taken maybe some from some Old Testament prophets a little bit, but they need to express their message verbally. You know, it's hard to hold it in. You have to speak it out. You need to, you know, get that word out there. And they have an ability to discern character and motives of people, both good and bad. And we need that in the body of Christ. How many know there's some people that can sometimes take advantage? You know what I mean? And you can kind of see through. I remember one time when we were just married, there's this woman, and she was a friend of ours in Bible school. But then, I don't know, something happened there, but then she was saying some things to my wife, which I discerned through the prophecy motivational gift. She was kind of buttering her up a little bit for something. You know what I mean? It wasn't really legit what she was saying. And I told my wife about it, and it did save something that was going to happen down the road a little bit. So this gift is handy sometimes. It can, not saying you're going to be right all the time because nobody's 100%, but you know, there is that capacity to discern and to identify, you know, divine things as well as, you know, evil, you know, that happens. And sometimes, you know, like in the this type of person, you know, I don't do it, this don't flow with me, but they're willing to express brokenness. You know, like the Old Testament prophets, remember, you know, Jeremiah and Ezekiel especially. I mean, Ezekiel, I mean, cut his hair off and put it in three spots, you know, just trying to show they're willing to get into their message, you know. And that's what they did. And, you know, one of them laid on their side for a long time, and then the other side is just, they're willing to show these things just to get people into it. That's not my flow as much. I don't do that sort of thing with my view of prophecy, motivational gift. This person also depends on the word to validate authority. So the word is very important to a prophecy motive gift. Like we're going to find out, an exhorter sometimes, they may tell a story to get the point across, but it may not be as biblical as it should have been. You know what I mean? And that would bug a prophecy motive gift, because the word's the word. There is no difference. You know, the word is the word, and that's just the way it is. You know, and it changeth not. You know, so that kind of is something, a characteristic in a prophecy motive gift. They can be a little blunt. They can be direct and frank in their persuasive speaking, you know, just get right to the point, and you know, this is what needs to be done. And they have a deep concern for the reputation of God. You know, I know it bugs me when somebody disses God. I mean, I don't go to blows over it, but boy, you want to get me angry, you start, you know, messing with God's reputation and telling lies about God. I mean, that just gets me going. And it probably gets a lot of people going, but a prophecy motive gift that really can get them going. And then, ironically, a prophecy motive gift is a person that if they have blind spots, they want you to tell them because they want to fix them because they just don't want to be off. And they can take correction. You know, you tell me I'm doing something wrong, I'll listen to it. You know, I'll try to change. That's just my personality. I mean, because I want to be right. I want to be the kind of witness or the light to people around. I don't want to put a shade over my light. So if there's something I'm doing, you know, that's wrong, you know, I like to fix it. And that's a characteristic of a prophecy motivational gift. So, excuse me, some of the misunderstandings, sometimes when they're a little frank or blunt, it can be considered harsh. They can be considered to be a little harsh in some things, and them things happen. Their efforts to gain results may be viewed as gimmicks, like I said in the Old Testament, where they would act out the things and things like that. There were some that, like they cut their hair. I can't do that anyway. I don't have enough to do. Where I cut three, it wouldn't be very many big a pile of hair, would they, if I had to cut it in three ways? But, you know, so yeah, that's just kind of how that works. Black and white stance can be judged as being intolerant on things, even if it's a partial good. So that's kind of a hard thing. And then public boldness and strict standards may hinder intimate personal relationships. You know, I know sometimes in the past, you know, like I said, I won't say I've toned it down, but I've learned to take the edge off a little bit sometimes and try to work with other people. But I know in the past, some of my strict standards in the community have been taken as harshness by some. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, what do? Hey. Just repent and go on, amen? And then a rigid stance on the word might seem opinionated. And I know some people, it's hard to believe, don't believe that the word of God is true. You know, some people believe that, you know, those guys as well, the Bible's been interpreted many ways. No, if you can read, you can interpret it. You know, God said what he said, amen. You know. And it says if there's two or three witnesses in there, then we ought to take that to the bank, you know. Amen. We need to believe what it says and just go with it, so. Now, a Bible example of somebody like this would be John the Baptist. You know, he was a New Testament prophet with the gift of prophecy also. Remember, he kind of acted out his things. He put on the girdle and then he would eat locusts. I mean, just kind of wild, you know, just kind of that stuff. So that was an example of somebody that really flowed in this gift. And people went to him. Some people are hungry for change, and that's good. You know, some people, you know, want to see, you know, their lives turned around, and that's why they went to him. He wanted others to point out his blind spots, and he was very blunt. I mean, he went right up to the priests and called them, you know, fakes. You know, he wasn't afraid. He just had to say it. I mean, you know, he didn't go up there and say, well, I don't know if you guys are doing this right or not. No, he just called them out. He just told them what it was. You know, you guys are whitewashed sepulchers and, you know, all this stuff, and you're leading the people astray, and, you know, it really bugged him. See, they were speaking on behalf of God lies. Well, that just drives a prophecy, motivational gift crazy. You know, they just get irate about it. And he also validated everything, you know, with the Word of God. So that was his ministry. It was a short one. I mean, he was blunt. He lost his head over the deal, didn't he? You know, he called it out that, was it Herod took his brother's wife and they were living in sin together, and he just felt that he needed to tell them about it, you know, that, you know, and then the woman put her daughter up to it and danced, and then she won the king's heart or whatever and had him behead him. So that's it. He was just blunt, and that's just the way it was. He wasn't afraid of, you know, what would happen because he said what he said, you know, because he believed he was right. And he was right, but he died for it, and that's what happens sometimes. Okay, so that's a little bit about a prophecy motive gift and what kind of person they are. Now we're going to look a little bit more on the other side of the ditch, shall we say, at the mercy motivational gift. And they're really the heart of the body of Christ. And it says to do it with cheerfulness, because mercy motivational gift people need to be careful, because they're the kind of person that will take on the burdens of others and will let them drag them down. You know, a danger would be probably somebody who's a counselor who has the mercy motivational gift, and they get so involved with the people that their problems become his or her problem, and then it lets them drag them down. A lot of pastors, shepherds, have the gift of mercy, and that's good to love people in the kingdom of God. You know, I love you, but it's just, I'm not sometimes as merciful about it as I should be, probably. You know, that's just the way it is. But to discern or define, you know, what this motivation is that they're happy to show compassion to others. You know, there's times in all our life, we need compassion, don't we? We need somebody to come and not tell us what we're doing wrong, but to love us in, to make us feel good again. You know what I'm saying? Put their arm around us and say it's okay, you know? And that's important to do. And then, it's kind of a outward manifestation of pity, but it's not really pity in a bad way, but they really have that. And they help in times of trouble, and they want to remove the distress of the other person. You know, they really intent. You can tell when somebody cares, can't you? I mean, you can tell when you're telling your problems to somebody and you kind of sense they don't care. Well, this mercy person really cares. You know, they put their whole heart and soul into you. That you're the, it's what I think is that they believe that you're the only person on the planet at this time. They're so focused on you. And that makes you feel kind of special, doesn't it? It makes you feel that somebody really cares, because we need somebody that really cares in our life from time to time. Everybody needs that. They need to do it cheerfully, like I said, not to get too emotionally down and taking it on. You know, just like with any ministry, I don't want to say this wrong, but we need to make sure that we don't try to become God in somebody's life. What I found out in 30-some years of ministry is that some things I can't fix. Only God can fix these problems. You know what I mean? I can only do what I can do. But somehow we got to see God move in that situation. Because there's times when some people have something going on that there's nothing on earth we can do. We need God, you know? And that's just important that we understand that. Okay, so characteristics. They're attracted to and understanding people in distress. I mean, they're just like a magnet. You know what I mean? They see somebody and that's, you know, maybe having a lot of problems, down and out, and they're just drawn to that person. Boom, just like a magnet. Just grab a hold of that situation, and they try to be there to help them and to see them set free. And it's more than just being there. It says wanting to deal with that distress or that problem, you know, what's going on in their life and how important it is to deal with that. And this kind of person will, with this motivational gift, they don't like to get firm unless they have to. You know, that's kind of a last resort. They want to try to love people in instead of, you know, trying to maybe bring correction sometimes when it's needed to. Very sensitive to words that hurt others. You know, they can tell if somebody, you know, you've been around somebody when somebody said something and you can tell it hurt somebody. You know, well, mercy motivational gift to really pick up on that. They can tell when somebody's being hurt, and they try to deal with that. And they close themselves off to those who are insensitive and insincere. You know, they want to be around people that really care, and they thrive in that environment. And if somebody's kind of a little harsher or whatever the case may be, they don't want to deal with that. They don't want to deal with that and be with that situation. So they also can discern motives of people, so it's not like they're a pushover. You know, some people think mercy motivational gifts are a pushover. They'll just, you know, get in there and, you know, help anything. But, you know, they're not all the time. They do have some discernment also. God has put that inside of them, and to be able to help. And they're really drawn to those with emotional distress. And it's important that we have those kind of people in the body of Christ, because they'll take the time to be with somebody and to minister to them and to get them out of that situation that they're in, instead of just saying, hey, go do this and let them on their own. No, they'll probably walk them through it. And we need that kind of person. Now, the way that they can be misunderstood by some of the others is avoidance to be firm can appear weak. They can appear weak to other gifts, maybe. And this is one to be careful, is compassion to those of the opposite sex can be misunderstood. So you got to be careful. If you're a woman operating with the gift of mercy and you're helping somebody, you want to be careful. When you're helping a man, or vice versa, if a man with mercy is helping a woman, especially if they're in a bad marriage or a bad situation, your compassion can be misunderstood as something else. So it's kind of dicey there. So you know what I'm talking about. So, you know, make sure you don't, you know, I would say, you know, be careful helping somebody of the opposite sex. Make sure somebody's with you all the time or with them, you know, so you're not alone with each other where, you know, those things can happen and be misunderstood and get in trouble, okay? Sometimes this kind of gift will step in and help people when they shouldn't. You know, maybe God was doing a work in somebody, okay? Maybe God's doing a work, and then our tendency is to step in. And, you know, just like with parenting, right? You know, you parents have probably figured out by now that it's not the best for you to step in and help your kids out of all their problems. Because if they got into that problem, they need to try to figure out how to get out of it. You know what I mean? If you step in and rescue them all the time, then they're never going to learn anything. So just like with the mercy motivational gift, when they see somebody having a problem, they need to pause. God, am I supposed to step in here? Am I supposed to get involved in this situation? You know, and maybe God will say no, maybe God will say yes. But, you know, you need to be discerning because some people just need to learn some things. And some things only God can teach them, right? There's things in my life, I know that God's the only one that could teach me that. And I'm glad he did, you know, but I had to give him the chance to do that. Sensitivity to situations can be misunderstood as taking up another's offense, you know. Let's say somebody's mad at somebody and you can tell it's really bottom, they're distressed about it. Maybe somebody did something mean to them. So then you step in and you got to be careful you don't side with that person. You know, you want to make them feel better, so it's easy, you know, maybe to say, oh, yeah, that's okay, they shouldn't have done that to you, instead of saying, hey, you might be in the wrong here, you know, maybe you just need to repent or apologize, you know, so you got to be careful if you have that gift just to make peace. So this ability to detect insincere motives makes it hard for them to get close to fakers. I mean, they can tell what a faker is, and that's something, too. Now, as we all know, probably you're probably thinking, who could be the Bible example of a mercy motivational gift? Well, I picked the Good Samaritan. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? You know, he was a guy traveling along, and you know, two people had already passed by this person who had been beaten. You know, the two of them were involved in the church, shall we say, or the synagogue. We had the priest and the Levite or whatever came by and just left him lay. Well, here comes this Samaritan. Now, you got to understand, the Samaritan was a half Jew, half something else. And they were looked down upon. You know, there was a lot of prejudices against him. But what he did was more Christian, or shall we say spiritual, than the paid religious leaders. You know what I mean? What he did is that he witnessed this person in trouble, and he jumped right in when others wouldn't. And he took time out of his day and he stopped. I mean, he was on a journey just like everybody else. They were all going somewhere, but he stopped. He stopped. And he wanted to lend a hand. And he did that, and then he had insight also to trust the innkeeper, because what'd he do? He stayed there with him a little bit, but he gave the innkeeper money out of his own pocket to take care of this person till they got built back up again. So he had insight to know that he could trust the innkeeper. Then also, he said that he was going to come back and check on it. So he wanted to be thorough and see it through. Come back and check on that person who had been beaten and robbed. Okay, so this guy really cared, and we need to see that. Sometimes we have that gift. These two gifts want the same thing. And not the same thing as setting people free, but they approach it in different ways. You know, if a needy family would walk into church right now, the mercy would want to love them and bring comfort. They would just run right up to them. The prophecy motive gift would want to help, but they'd want to know and make sure they understand what needs to change so they won't get into that problem again. Okay, both are wanting to help, but it's just different way. And there could be some conflict between them if they're helping the family together. And when we see someone, you know, coming, it'll help us, you know, in the body of Christ understand each other. So just for fun, these are only 2 out of 7. How many feel they have the gift of prophecy? Just me? Who's scared to raise their hand because you don't want that gift? Anybody? Come on now. Who feels they have the gift of mercy? Okay? Yeah? All righty. Well, that's good. So, if we counsel together, you know, those who raise their hands with me know. Anyway, so those are 2 out of 7. And also, there's some spiritual gift tests we can, at the end of this, I can maybe locate a link. I used to have one, and there's a lot of them online we can find. And it's just good to find out where you're at, you know, so you can better flow and function in your gifting. And maybe, you know, you are a prophecy motive and, you know, you feel God's told you something, but you didn't want to share it. You know, you're holding back. You know, this might encourage you to step out a little bit. And if you're mercy, you know, this might help you, you know, to flow in that, but also give you safeguards not to be taken advantage of. Amen? So all these things. So we're going to look at that. And then next week, we're going to look at 2 different ones. Amen? And we're going to figure out where we fit in the body of Christ. And then we can find out where we flow and how we flow. And then God's going to be able to move in our life. Amen? All righty. Let's pray. Close in prayer.